Good morning. As you can see, I hope by your bulletins, we are in Ephesians chapter 4 today, the very end of that chapter, if you want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're beginning in verse 29. And beginning in verse 29, we read, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you." We are to do things that are helpful for building each other up, it says. Great to be here today. Always good to be with you folks. I always enjoy it. Just to be transparent, I know some of you know because you've already told me, but in case you don't know, a warning, I'm here next Sunday too. So you're forewarned on that. When Joe called me, it was almost 2 months ago, he said, "We got the 4th and the 11th, which do you want?" And I said, "I have both open, it's up to you." He said, "Well, I'm writing you down for both. I'm going off ministry and council. What can they do to me?" So also, being transparent, next Sunday, the 11th, is what we're calling a Lewis family adventure. And our adventure begins, as it turns out, because I scheduled this, right here. So next Sunday, my whole crew will be here. You're warned. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped too. Most of them have heard me, but there's three or four grandkids that have never heard me speak. So, and speaking of the grandkids, which I hardly ever mention when I'm with you folks, I've told you that that we have for quite a few years now been helping out with them, the ones in Marshalltown and the ones down in Clive. And several years ago, and I'm going to tell you about Campbell, and she's going into seventh grade, and this was when she was in preschool, so it's been a few years ago. But we were going down there, my daughter and her husband and the kids they had at that time, they have five now, the kids they had at that time moved from St. Louis to Clive, and they both worked. He's a physical therapist in Clive, and she at that time was working virtual for Boeing in St. Louis. And so she worked 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so we were down there Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday watching kids all day. Yeah, I don't know how we survived either. We definitely wouldn't do it now. At any rate, we had lots of stuff to do, obviously, but my main task was transportation. I drove them to school, to preschool, to the library, to the grocery store, to Target, to Casey's, all the important places. They were in the vehicle with me more than they were with their parents. So this particular year, they built a new elementary at Waukee, where they go to school. I think that was their 8th elementary. And I think they built one since then. At any rate, so my job on those days was to take the two boys to school, and then later to take Campbell to preschool. And this new school, like so many of the schools and in this area, huge housing development, and then there was a school, and then there was nothing. Now, if you'd go there now, it doesn't look like that, but that's what it looked like then. So you would come down a two-lane road through all the houses to the school, and then you would turn into the driveway of the school that was a one-way that you drove through, dropped them off, and then you would come back, and then you could go north, but there was no reason to. There was nothing there, so you'd go south and go out. And I don't know that, I know Marshalltown still has all of this. I don't know the schools you go to, but you cannot believe the amount of people that were bringing kids and dropping them off. This driveway, that was a fairly long one, you would get there in, I usually got there pretty early. The kids didn't like that, but this, it was not unusual for it to come out of the driveway and then onto the two-lane road and back for two or three blocks. So, on a day that I was not driving, my daughter took them to school, and she drove in, and after she dropped them off, she turned to go back south and to go past the people that are waiting to get bring kids in. And when she got to that place where the opening to go in, there was a lady sitting there with her blinker on. There were people lined up two or three blocks down, and in essence, what this lady was doing was cutting line. Are you following me? She was trying to go in. Rather than going back and get in the line with everybody else, she was trying to go in. And nobody was going to let her in. So my daughter that was right behind her, sitting there, and of course it lined up behind her, but sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And she said, finally, she was even aware, but Campbell, the preschooler who was in the back seat of the van, yelled out, "Move it, lady!" At which point my daughter said to me, "Where did she hear that, Dad?" I say that to say to you today, aren't there a lot of things in our lives that we're not very proud of, that we hope are not shared, that we hope people do not see? But the truth is what? If we do an honest evaluation of our lives, we are all what? Sinners. We are all sinners. What does it say in the book of Romans? Romans chapter 3 says what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many years of schooling do you need to know the definition of the word all? All would be what? All. All would be everybody here. All would be everybody outside here. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then Romans goes on to tell us, and the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God forever. I hear people say, I've probably said it myself, I want justice. I've rethought that myself, and I would encourage others that want that to rethink it. Look up the definition of the word justice. The definition of the word for the definition of justice is getting what you deserve. I say to you today, I don't want what I deserve. The good news of the gospel is what? That God, through Christ, does not offer us justice. He offers us what we need, which is, the Bible says, mercy and grace. See, mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's good news. Not getting what we deserve. And grace, on the other hand, is all that God gives us that we haven't earned. There's no reason he has to do it. He just does it out of his grace. God offers us mercy and grace. And how do we receive that? Through Jesus Christ. The story is told of a farmer who got very frustrated with his farm. He said that he griped about the lake on his property always needing to be stocked and managed, and all those fat cows lumbering through the pasture, and all the fencing and all the feeding and on, he decided, I'm going to sell the farm. So he contacted a realtor, and the realtor called him back in a couple days and asked for an okay for the advertisement that she had for his farm. And so she read the ad to him. It described a lovely farm in an ideal location, quiet and peaceful, contoured with rolling hills, carpeted with soft meadows, nourished with a fresh lake, and blessed with well-bred livestock. The farmer said, read that to me again. And then he said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to sell. I've been looking for a place like that all my life. As we sit here this morning, as we worship together this morning, are you aware that in Jesus Christ, you have found what you've been looking for all your life? What can be better than what we have in Jesus Christ? He is all. I wrote down just a few things. You could spend some time doing this yourself because this is not a complete list. But in Jesus, we have someone who paid the price for our sins. We have someone who went to the cross so that we would not have to die and be separated from God. In him, in Jesus, we have someone that offers us forgiveness. We only know our own lives, and most of us are doing our best to hide a lot about our lives. But I know my life, and I'm amazed when I think that I could be forgiven, that God would forgive me. And yet he does. Popular Christian song says, oh, the overwhelming love of God. I haven't earned it, and I don't deserve it. Forgiveness that we have in Christ. That we are made right with God because of what Christ has done. That when God looks at us, that's our great hope, that because Christ died on that cross, he sees the blood of Christ that covers us. Not only that, but through Christ we can be adopted as children of God. One of the new translations says that he calls us his children, and then it says, and we really are. Think about that, folks. Children of God, because I'm so good? Because of the great life that I've lived? No, because of what Christ has done for me. And then it goes on to say that in Christ we have been given new life. 1 Corinthians tells us that the old is passing away and that the new is coming and that we are being made to be like Jesus. That we have been saved, that we have salvation. Salvation is what? It's a decision that you make to accept what Christ has done for you and ask Him to come into your life. And it's an ongoing process. Ever heard anybody say to you, you claim to be a Christian? You act that way, you do that, you said that, you claim to be a Christian? Well, it's a process. It's a process. We're not perfect, but we are being made to be like Jesus, and someday we will. Paul talks about that, and he says, it's not as though I'm all that I should be, but I keep pressing on. I attended a conference at the Billy Graham Center called the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. And I was downstairs in one of the buildings, and the walls of there were just lined with pictures. And there was a picture of Billy's wife, Ruth Graham. She had passed away. And next to her was a picture of her tombstone. And on her tombstone it said, construction complete. Thank you for your patience. Isn't that beautiful, folks? She understood what? That we're none of us going to be perfect until the day we stand before God face to face. Till we see Jesus face to face. And then in Jesus, not only do we have all of that, and again, I would encourage you to write some other things because that's not a complete list, but in Jesus, He gives us a future. Excuse me. If my wife were here, she'd be saying, you're getting dry mouth. Take a drink. We have been given a future. Stories told of Billy Graham in his 90s, getting toward the end of his life. Did not get out hardly at all. And they dedicated another building. If you go to North Carolina and around Asheville and that area, there's all kinds of places dedicated to Billy Graham and all that he's done. Well, they dedicated another building, and they invited Billy Graham at age 90-something to come. And he wrote back, I really appreciate it, but I just don't think I'm going to do it. And his kids said, Dad, it would mean a lot to them if you would come. Please go. And so he agreed to go. Then they said, Dad, you've lost a lot of weight. None of your suits fit you. We're going to get a new suit. So he told the people as he addressed them that day, he said, so they bought me a new suit. I'm wearing this suit today, and the next time I will wear this suit is at my funeral. And then he told them this story. He said, was told that Albert Einstein, also getting along in his life, getting older, was taking a train. And on this train, and think how many years ago this must have been, because on this train there was a conductor that was coming by to pick up the tickets. How many years ago must that have been? And he said when he got to Albert Einstein, he saw him reach into his pockets, and it was obvious he'd lost his ticket. And the conductor said to him, that's all right, Mr. Einstein. Everyone knows who you are. I know you got a ticket. Don't worry about it. And he went on by. said when he got to the end of the car and he got to the door to go out of the car, he looked back, and there was Albert Einstein down on the floor looking under the seat. And he came back and says, Mr. Einstein, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You don't need to find your ticket. And Albert Einstein said to him, you don't understand. My ticket tells me where I'm going. And Billy Graham said to the folks gathered, I know where I'm going. That's the future that we have in Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going. Now I'm going to have to get a little real here, because people say we're all going to the same place. If that's true, quit reading this, because it's not. Because that's not what this says at all. Certainly not what Billy Graham preached. Certainly not what Jesus preached. In fact, you can't get much plainer than this. Jesus said what? Wide is the road that leads to destruction, which is separated from God, and many there be, Jesus said, that go there. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Billy Graham says, I know where I'm going. And some might say, wow, that's pretty egotistical, isn't it? That he thinks he knows where he's going? Well, Billy Graham explains how he knows where he's going. And we're getting close to the end, so if you're starting to drift here, I would encourage you to get back on board. And listen carefully, because these are some of the most, I think, important words that Billy Graham has ever said. This is what he says about how he knows where he's going. And he has this in a book, Under the Hills. This is what he says. The Bible says the judgment for sin that I deserved is already passed. Christ took my judgment on the cross. Every demand of the law has been met. The law was completely satisfied in the offering that Christ made of himself for sins. He says, I deserved judgment and hell, but Christ took that judgment and hell for me. He says, we shall never understand the extent of God's love in Christ at the cross until we understand that we shall never have to stand before the judgment of God for our sins. Christ took our sins. He finished the work of redemption. And he says, I am not saved through any works or merit of my own. I have preached to thousands of people on every continent, but I shall not go to heaven because I am a preacher. I am going to heaven entirely on the work and the merit of Jesus Christ. Not egotistical at all. He's talking about what Christ has done for him, that he is accepted, and that any of us can. We can all know where we're going because of what Christ has done. And when we get to that place where we have received that, then we understand that this world is not our home. That someday we will be with him. That someday we will see him face to face. I haven't done as many funerals in recent years as I used to do, but I have done several, and I'm a little more selective, and I have pretty much done funerals for people who I considered to be friends. And these friends that I've done funerals for, I believe, are all believers. They're all people who have accepted Christ, as Billy Graham has talked about. You know, people say, well, it's so much easier to do a funeral when you know the person. Well, I guess that's true, but let me tell you something. It's a lot easier to do the funeral when you know that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. Make it easier on your pastor. So, in these funerals, I always close, and I have in recent times, close that service for these believers with the words from a contemporary Christian group called Building 429. That kind of a strange name. I always thought that was kind of a strange name. Building 429. That made no sense to me. Building 429, they got that name because they said, we are building our lives on Ephesians 4:29 that we read today. To help each other, it says, and to build each other up. So anyway, I conclude and I say to the folks, I am well aware that the person that I'm having the service for probably would not like their music. I like it. I love it. One of my favorite songs. But they wouldn't, and I know that most of them did not. In fact, when I was interim pastor at First Baptist in Marshalltown, I had two families that I had previously pastored that came to the church. And sadly, but it was their day to know where they were going, passed away, and I had their funerals. And I said this to the people, they probably would not like the music, but they would agree with the words. The song that they sing is called Where I Belong. And the chorus says this, all I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not my final home. And I say to you this morning, folks, we can build our lives on that.